Welcome to the Gym Heroes Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Peacock. Today's show is brought to you by GymDesk, the easiest gym management software you'll ever use. Take payments, create marketing automations, track attendance, and much more. To try the software out free, go to GymDesk.com. No credit card or painful sales call required. Our hero today is Nikki Rausch, CEO and founder of Sales Maven, an organization dedicated to helping individuals improve their sales processes and results. With over 25 years of sales experience and a deep understanding of neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, Nikki specializes in teaching others how to engage in sales conversations that are both effective and comfortable. In this episode, Nikki shares valuable insights on top-down selling, where she explains why presenting the highest offer first significantly impacts clients' decision-making process. I've read a lot of sales material and I've actually never heard of this before. Mostly what you see are the type of sales presentations where things are promoted side by side, left to right, but her approach is very different and it makes a lot of sense. Nikki also details her unique selling staircase method consisting of 5 steps, including the introduction, creating curiosity, discovery, proposal, and of course, the close. Without further ado, Nikki Rausch. All right, welcome to the Gym Heroes Podcast, Nikki. Go ahead and introduce yourself to my audience and talk a little bit about your background.
Thank you. So I'm Nikki Rausch. My company is Sales Maven. I'm a sales coach and trainer and podcaster. And I specialize in the conversation of sales. So if you are somebody who doesn't really feel that comfortable having those live one-on-one conversations or even written sales conversations, that's where I come in and can help you. My background is I'm a sales professional by trade. I have over 25 years of sales experience. I'm also a master certified practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. And if that's a new term to anybody listening, it's really the study of communication. And so I teach a combination of what I know that worked successfully for me in sales for many years. I was a top producing rep in North America for one of the largest companies in the world. And bringing in my NLP background to that has just allowed for me to show people how to have much more comfortable conversations, because I truly believe that sales isn't something you're supposed to do to another person. It's something you're supposed to do with another person. And when you can show up and have with conversations and talk with people instead of at them, sales gets a lot easier.
Great. I like that sales is something that you do with someone rather than to them.
Yeah.
I speak to a lot of gym owners. I speak to a lot of martial arts school owners and a yoga studio and Pilates. And most of them, maybe some gym owners get into it with the idea I have to do sales, but everybody mm-hmm. else gets into it because I want to teach, right?
Yeah,
and then
of course,
they're like, oh, I need members. Whoops. I don't know how to do this. I'm not a salesperson. I don't really want to be pushy, or I don't want to tell people or ask people what to do. So along those lines, what is relationship sales? It's something I've heard you talk about before. Yeah. How does it differ from other approaches to sales?
Well, I think it is that difference between talking with somebody versus talking at them. I think one of the biggest misconceptions about sales is that your job is to convince somebody to buy whatever it is that you're like hawking. Mm. And that can feel manipulative and gross and kind of like uncomfortable. And if you're not somebody who loves the idea of attaching sales to your persona, of course you're going to shy away from that. But I actually don't think your job is to convince anybody to buy from you. I think your job is to understand, does this person have a problem, a need, or a want? Do I have a solution that meets that need, solves the problem, you know, answers that want? And do I have permission to put an offer in front of them? So when you can understand, oh, I'm talking to somebody who definitely, you know, has got a struggle And I have a solution that is going to help them, you know, overcome that or make their life better in some way. I know how to present something in a way to get permission. And once they give me permission, now I'm just showing up and being of service, which is probably back to those, you know, gym owners and the yoga studios that are like, I just want to, you know, teach. This is another form of like making it easy for the student to learn. That means they have to have an offer. They have to know what that next step for them is, which means they need for you to actually put an offer in front of them. Because otherwise, they'll never achieve what it is that they want to achieve. And you'll never get the opportunity to share your gifts with the world.
Sure. And as an instructor or a coach, you... that relationship is really important because it doesn't end after you make the sale. It begins after you make the sale.
That's right. That's right. And also, I think sometimes when you approach sales as like, oh, I'm getting something from somebody. Again, that feels a little bit gross and manipulative. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, when you start looking at when you put an offer in front of somebody, it isn't so much about them giving you money as it is about them investing in themselves. Right? Anybody who's achieved a high level in their fitness or a high level in their yoga practice or martial arts, you know, they don't walk away and be like, thank goodness I paid that person all this money because I've got this now to show for it. They go, look at what I've done. Look at all that I have done for myself to achieve this level of success, whether it's again, fitness, you know, yoga practice, martial arts. Like people don't walk around going like, I bought this black belt. They go, no, I earned this black belt. So You being able to put offers in front of people allows for them to really invest in themselves. And that's really what it's about.
Excellent. So let's dig into a little bit more of the specifics of how to get to the sale. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, you have your own process of steps to go from someone who's not made the sale yet, not signed the dotted line, to they're ready to sign the dotted line.
Yeah. So I teach my signature framework for a sales conversation. I call it the selling staircase. I actually wrote my third book around it. And I teach that it's a staircase because most of us understand that when you're ascending a staircase, you go one step at a time. And in a sales conversation, you need to understand what step am I on with this person and what's the right thing to say or do to move them to the next step. So that's why I teach it as a staircase. And it makes up, there's five steps in the selling staircase. The first one is introduction. And that is the objective in the introduction is to make a powerful first impression because people are making judgments about you. They're making judgments about your studio. They're making judgments about your gym. They're making judgments about your website. So what can you do to set yourself up to make a powerful first impression? Once you've made a powerful first impression, it's very easy to move somebody to step two in that sales conversation. And again, we might not actually be having a conversation yet with somebody, but step two is to create curiosity. Now, most people, when I ask them, do you know how to create curiosity when you're thinking about your business? They look at me with like this deer in the headlights, like, what are you talking about? Create curiosity. But the fact of the matter is if you don't know how to create curiosity about your product, about your service, about your offer, most people don't even know how to take that next step with you. So it's your job to pique people's curiosity and make them go like, ooh, tell me more about that. Or what does that mean? Or what could that be? Like, how would I use something like that? So we want to learn how to create curiosity. When we create curiosity, what tends to happen is people start to give you buying signals. Buying signals are verbal and nonverbal cues that people give that indicate interest. I actually wrote my second book. It's just all about buying signals because they're so important. They are included in the third book, but in the second book, it's just all buying signals because I was like, if people don't know this, they're missing out on business. So Once you get a buying signal, it's really easy to invite somebody to step three in the sales conversation, which is that discovery. Could, you know, I call it discovery, but some people call it their consult call or the sales call or that like walk through the gym and, you know, kind of check it out, what tour, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. But the objective in the discovery is to really understand what's going on for this person. What is their struggle? What's their need? And are they giving you indicators that your solution would be a good fit for them? And the way that you get those indicators is by asking really smart questions. And I can give you sales questions to ask during those sessions or during those meetings. And you should have a set list of questions that are really specific to you and to your business that pique that curiosity, that plant those seeds, that let somebody go like, ooh, this is the place for me because you're asking me questions that are make me think what's possible here, or I didn't even know that I should be thinking about that, or whatever that is. So you want to have some specific questions in that discovery process. And then once you've identified through the discovery, yes, I am talking to a prospective client. This person is a good fit for one of my offers. Then we're going to move them to step four in the process, which is what I call proposal. Now that sounds very formal, but it isn't necessarily. Sometimes it's just part of the conversation. That's actually where the selling happens. This is where you put the offer in front of somebody. And then step five goes really closely with step four, which is the close. And the objective here is that you actually get close language out of your mouth so that you make it easy for this person to make a decision to work with you. Of the five steps that I teach, curiosity is the most misstep and close is the second most misstep. Most people think they're closing, but they're actually not. And if you're not closing, you're not allowing somebody to go, do I want to sign up? Do I want to buy that package? Is this the right time for me? And if you're not posing those questions and getting their brain to answer the question, that's when people leave the gym or they leave the yoga studio and they don't actually buy anything. And chances are it's because you didn't close. And so you might go like, gosh, this person was so interested. They really loved the tour. They're definitely going to become a member. And 3 months later, you're like, whatever happened to that person? Like they just went away. Chances are you didn't close. So those are the five steps of the selling staircase: introduction, curiosity, discovery, proposal, and close.
Excellent. So what are some practical ways that maybe a fitness business owner could create curiosity during that sales process?
Well, some of it is the way that you ask questions, but some of it is the way that you answer questions. So a lot of times clients or prospective clients will have questions for you. And sometimes it's really easy to just like give an answer, but I actually want you to plant seeds and create curiosity with your answers that lets them go like, ooh, tell me more about that. So let's say they ask something like, what is your, what's your cancellation policy, right? Like you could just give a straight up answer, or you could plant a little curiosity here with your answer. You still give the answer. So maybe you say, well, our cancellation policy is 30 days notice. But keep in mind that once people join, they have this experience that we get to hear over and over and over again. Would you like to know what that is? And then the person's going to be like, yes, tell me, what is that? Right? Like we got to pique their curiosity a little bit. So the way that you create curiosity is by answering a question that lets somebody go like, ooh, tell me more about that. Or what does that mean? Or yeah.
Real quick, before I put you back into the episode, Gymdesk has powerful yet intuitive features to grow your business. And there's a few really great features I'd like to highlight. The first is a deep, best-in-class email and SMS marketing system with automation tools to make your life as a business person so much easier. It's like having a dedicated full-featured email service provider native to your gym software. We're really proud of it, and it's something that we've recently overhauled. And in addition to all the stuff a good management software should do for you, like member management, attendance, booking, scheduling, and reporting, you can set up an easy, simple, attractive point-of-sale system to sell merchandise in person or through your website with just a few clicks. And if you like to provide members-only content, we have a content management system that lets you choose who can see what content and when, all visible from a member's web portal and the GymDesk user app. So give your gym the lift it deserves. Go to gymdesk.com or click the link in the description.
Cool. Or you could say, never, we own your soul when you sign the line.
we're like Hotel California. You can check in or you can check out, but you can never leave. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can, you're going to be stuck on the treadmill forever now. Excellent. No, that's really great. So it's almost a subtle reframe, because a cancellation, when someone asks about cancellation, they might be angling to sign up, but they're looking at the eject button. Like,
yeah, possibly.
How easily can I get out right? of this if I sign up?
Yeah. And also, if somebody were asking me about my cancellation policy, I take that as a potential buying signal. So I might answer the question. I might create a little planting seed curiosity there. But I also would probably more than likely say, you know, this is the cancellation policy. One of the things that happens when people first join in their first month is they have this certain experience. We hear it over and over again. Would you like to know what that is? Then they say yes. Then I tell them. And then I'm going to say, should we go ahead and get your membership going? I'm going to invite them. As soon as they give me that potential buying signal, I'm going to invite them to the next step.
Okay, great. So when you're at that last step, there's usually an offer. Often tiers, if you're doing it right. If there's one, you're probably not doing it right if there's only one thing that you can choose.
I thought you meant tears, like they're crying tears. I was like, wait, what? I got it where you're going now.
Tears,
I get it,
as
tears.
I-E-R, yeah.
Yeah, I-E-R. Okay, all right, I'm following now.
There might be tears if you did a trial workout first. Maybe it's like really good motivational interview where you just dug down all the way into the person's childhood and had a psychological breakthrough.
Okay, so there are tears.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So what's the best way to present these packages to somebody?
Yeah. Okay, this is so crucial to your success, and not only to your success, but to your prospective client making the right decision for them. Okay. So let's say you have three tiers, three levels of membership or three packages that you want to put in front of them. You always do top-down selling. So you would say to the person, you know, we have three packages. Our top tier package is the VIP accelerator, and you get this, this, and this with it. The middle tier, and then you take a step down, the middle tier is the gold level package. And in the gold, you get this, this. You don't get this, you know, some of these things that you get at the elite level. And then there's just the basic membership. And that just means that you can come and go as you please, blah, blah, blah. Now, of those three, which is the best option for you right now? That's me issuing closed language. But I do top-down selling. And this is, again, so crucial to success. And if you never heard anybody talk about top-down selling, I'm going to go a little bit further, because it will change the game in what people pick, okay? So it has to do with a little bit of our human nature. We don't like to have things taken away. So we don't mind paying more money to not lose things. But on the flip side, we don't like to pay more money to get things. So if you start at the bottom and say our standard package is this, and then the gold level is this, and you get all these extra things, and then at the elite level, you get even more. More than likely, people are always going to pick your basic level. But if you start at the top and work your way down, they're much more likely to pick either your top tier or your middle tier, because those are the ones where they're like, I don't have to give up as much stuff. Like, who wants to be a basic member when they get to hear all that they get at the elite and the gold level? So it's really crucial. And again, this isn't about, I mean, it is about you increasing your lifetime value of your clients, but it also is about helping them make the right decision for themselves. Because somebody who couldn't afford the higher level, they're not going to buy it. But somebody who's like, yeah, that elite level, that sounds amazing. That's what I want, right? Then they're much more likely to pick it versus like, oh, I don't know if I want to pay, you know, an extra $300 a month to be the blah, 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 or whatever it is. So top-down selling, it is crucial to your success, and it'll change the way clients make decisions about how they purchase from you.
That's fascinating. I'm familiar with anchoring, but I've never heard that the sequence matters that much.
Yeah.
And then the way that it's presented, what does that, have you ever seen that equate to digital marketing? I know that's not necessarily your forte, but like presenting left to right, because usually left to right is like basic, silver, gold, platinum. You think it would work if you started from left with the highest to like the way you read?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Here's what I will say to that. I'm not a huge fan of doing the chart, like the low price to the high price, like graph that you're talking about that you see a lot with pricing of like, here's the basic level. And then, you know, here's all the check marks in the middle level. And then here's all the check marks in the elite side to the right. And the reason I'm not a fan of laying your offers out like that is because it really is top. It's like starting at the bottom and working your way up. Like, so now you're kind of doing the opposite. You're doing like bottom up selling, which isn't an effective way to do it. So I usually recommend to my clients, lay it out differently on your website. Put your top tier. The other thing is about those graphs and those charts is it really limits you explaining what each of those things are. But if you just put it on your website as like, here's the elite program and here's the bullet points of all the things that are included and here's who this offer is for. This is for you when bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. You've got some breathing room to it. And then you go, here's the gold tier and you lay it out the same. And then underneath the gold tier, here's the basic package and you lay it out the same. Give it some breathing room because when you try to fit it in those like little charts and graphs, you're really just having people do that comparison mode and it won't work as effectively, even if you lay it out the other way, which I do recommend. But our brains don't really, like we're so used to seeing it from the bottom up like that when you lay it in that graph. But if you go onto my website, you'll see that if I have multiple offers on a page, you're going to see it as top down. And and the reason for that is because it makes it easier for people to choose the right solution for them. And it lets them breathe while they're reading through the options of like, oh, this is what this means. Because sometimes you can see something and you go like, it's like this short, tiny little description. But really what it is it's like the game changer. Like for instance, one of the things I offer a lot of times with my VIP packages is I give clients Voxer access to me. Now, if I just said Voxer access and checkmark, people will be like, I don't care if I have Voxer access. But if I explain what that means, that's like carrying me around in your pocket all day long. And anytime you have a sales question, you just pop it over to me and ask, and I give you an answer live, like back to you in a live message. People are like, that is worth the price of the program alone, right? But if I just say Voxer, they go like, what? I don't get it. So why do I want to pay for it?
Right. That's interesting. So it is literally top down. You're following the page down instead of going to a graph where you move left to right, or really you're scattered all over the place. Like when I read it, I'm like looking at all the different check marks. What do I need? What do I not need?
Yeah. And your brain is trying to make sense of all that. And it's like short, little, tiny descriptions, no white space, no bold, no, like it just doesn't really work. And even if you're going to have like a price list that you print out and you hand to a client to pick, like here are our membership options, you should still do it as top down. You don't need that graph. Just because everybody else has it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. This like, I feel like the mom saying like, just because your friends jump off a bridge, do you need to jump off a bridge too? Like, no, you don't.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people, so when you get into marketing, when you get into sales, when you get into anything that's customer facing in that way, they're like, you know what? You don't have to make everything up. Just the genius marketers copy all the other great marketers, but
some of it.
You don't have to copy every, like some, you can sometimes there's a good reason not to copy it.
Sometimes there's a real good reason to stand out from your competitors. Because if you look like everybody else, I actually teach this concept around like putting your offers out, doing this top-down selling. And I have this image where it's like this big, like basket full of apples. And every apple in it is red except for one. One's green. Which one do you think people notice first? the green one. Be the green apple in a basket full of red apples.
Awesome. So let's say that a member signed up, but you have a few options here to increase their lifetime value. How do you go about presenting upsells to a member?
Yeah, you check in with them. So for instance, if I knew you were going to come in and you were somebody like you've signed up for the basic package, but noticing you at the gym and I'm noticing like you really would be a great fit for this new offer that we have or for the like next step up, I would initiate conversation with you and I might say, hey, you know, I've been noticing when you come in that there's something in particular and I'm wondering if you would find value in it. Would you be open to having a conversation about it? So I'm going to ask permission before I even broach the topic with you. I'm going to plant the seed. Now I will say, if you say to somebody something like, you know, I've been noticing when you come into the gym that you would be an ideal candidate for something. And I'm wondering if you'd be interested to hearing about it. Nobody's going to say no to that. They're going to be like, yeah, you have some thoughts for me about me. Tell me what those are, right? They're going to lean in and want to know. Then you can lay out the kind of the upsell for them. You know, you could say, I know that you're at this tier. When you are at this next tier up, you get access to these things. And noticing your progression, you're so ready for those. Is that something you'd be interested in doing? That's me issuing close language, by the way. So I lay out the solution for you. And then I invite you to say yes to it. Now you might say no, or I might need to think about it or whatever. That's okay. I have to ask. So I present the offer, then I invite you to sign up for it. And then I wait. I be quiet. I zip my lips and I wait and I see what you say next.
Excellent. So some sellers, I mean, I can hardly tell them sellers. I'm guilty of this, by the way, because I owned a little Taekwondo club many years ago and I had no marketing or sales or business training whatsoever. And no idea what I was doing. And so they beat around the bush and they have trouble simply asking you to take action. So what is the best way to close a sale?
It truly is to just issue an invitation. And this has to do with, there's a couple things that come into play here. One, I always teach the close as an invitation because most people like to be invited to things. Like, I don't know about you, but if you knew that your buddies were going to all go on like a road trip together, and maybe you're not a big fan of road trips, but if you knew they were going to all go and didn't invite you, wouldn't you feel a little left out?
Yeah.
I mean, you might be like, I wasn't going to go anyway, but part of you feels a little bit like, but shouldn't I have been able to be the one to make that decision? Right? Like, we all like to be included and invited. Mm-hmm. Never be afraid to invite somebody to something. You know, I have been in sales for more than 25 years and I've invited a lot of people to work with me. And I have been told no once. Just kidding. I've been told no many times, but I've never ever had anybody clutch their pearls and be like, oh, Nikki, how dare you invite me to work with you? Right? A lot of times they might say no, but they are still flattered that they got to make the decision. So if you're not sure as to whether or not somebody wants to be a member of the studio or sign up for the next batch of classes that you're offering, just issue the invitation and see what they say. Because here's the other thing. So not only this idea of people like to be included, but the flip side of this is as humans, we have what's known as decision fatigue. We get so many decisions put in front of us all day long. And I don't know if you've heard me say this on a podcast before about the average adult makes a certain number of decisions every day. If you think about this for yourself, do you know, like on average, how many decisions do you think you make?
A day?
Yeah, in a day.
I mean, hundreds probably.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah. They say the average adult makes between 30 and 60,000 decisions every day.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah. I guess everything you do is a decision. Like when you open the fridge and look around, like it's all a decision. So if you count all of those things as decisions, then I can definitely see 30,000.
Yeah. Right. And if you're a parent, I think there's sometimes probably more, right? So
yeah.
Like, there's a lot of decisions that are happening. And so because our brains, frankly, it's been proven our brains are a little bit lazy. Our brains will sometimes do the least amount of work possible. So if we don't have to make a decision, oftentimes we won't. So if you don't put a decision in front of somebody, oftentimes they won't decide to sign up for your class, to take that package with you. Now, here's the truth about sales. The easier you make it for people to make a decision, the more likely they are to say yes and give you their money. That's just a fact. The easier you make it, the more likely they are to say yes. And if they don't say yes to you, they'll say yes to the next person who makes it easy for them. So your job is to just make it easy. And the way that you make it easy, the number one way you can make it easy for people is to ask the question.
Excellent. So before we close, do you recommend any books on neuro-linguistic programming? Are there any books on them? I don't know.
There's so many. There's thousands upon thousands. If you go to Amazon and just type in neuro-linguistic programming, you'll find so many books on it. You know, I haven't read a current one in a while because I deep dived into NLP for so many years that now I'm like moving on to other things. But I'll tell you, one of my favorite, like getting started, if you're just dipping your toe in the water, is the Really Good Cartoon Book of NLP. And it's all like illustrated. It's super easy to read. I used to buy it and send it to family members and friends when they were like, what are you studying? What are you doing? Because it helps them make sense of it.
Yeah.
And I actually wrote a little, a really short, easy read. Like it takes a half an hour or less to read it. It's called 6-Word Lessons on Influencing with Grace. And in it, I give 100 communication tips that are based on my studies from NLP. So either of those books are really simple. If you want a real big deep dive into NLP, I don't know if it's been updated lately, but when I was going through my studies, this was actually our textbook. It was called NLP for Dummies. It was one of the dummies book. And it does read like a textbook. So if you're not into textbook reading, it might not be my first recommendation, but it is very comprehensive. There's also online, you can do the Encyclopedia of NLP. So you could go in and look. It's like this, it's huge. You kind of have to know what you're looking for, but that's a great resource too.
Awesome. Cool. So where can listeners find you?
The easiest way is I'm going to wrap it around a gift, if that's okay for your listeners, Josh, just to let them get something extra. So I have an ebook. It's called Closing the Sale. I talk about those last three steps of the sales conversation, give you some language suggestions. It's a simple, easy read. You'll get some language suggestions. It'll maybe hopefully bring some things to light for you as to what you're doing in those last three steps. So Closing the Sale, you can get it by going to yoursalesmaven.com/gym. So I just wanted to be really easy for your listeners.
Awesome. I definitely encourage listeners to jump over there, especially the martial arts and the yoga studio owners, because they're not familiar with sales so much. All right. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.